Amen. What an appropriate song this morning. Thank you, Jeremy, for reminding the Spirit of God, even in little details, like the next song that shall be sung. Well, we also bring greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's Bible school time again. And there's excitement in the air. We sense that. We've been looking forward to these days for months. I know that it's a testimony at our house. It's one of the highlights of our year is Bible school time. And there are many reasons for that, not just one, many. God seems to, at times, overflow His loving kindness to us. And Bible school week is one of those times. So we also want to extend a welcome to all of you visitors, Bible school students, and I know some parents, some brothers and sisters who've come along to oversee maybe your young people. God bless you. You're welcome. Why don't we kneel together for prayer? Can we do that before we get into the message? Just fall upon our knees before the Lord our Maker. Come, let us bow down before the Lord our Maker. Yes, our God and our Father, we do rejoice before You this morning. You signed our pardon. It's all been paid. The Lord Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And there He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Lord, we believe that this morning. We believe You're sitting there this morning looking down upon us, interceding for us. Oh Lord, what do You want to do in this meeting today? Release Your blessing, release Your prayers upon us, Lord, today as a congregation. You know what we need to hear, and You know how it needs to be given. Oh, Lord, we pray this morning that You will have Your will and Your way in each one of our lives. Yes, Father, we come today hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Oh, God, fill us, Lord. Fill us full and overflowing with the righteous principles of Your holy word and the power to live them out. God, we pray that You'll write upon the tables of our hearts today. Yes, Lord, we pray for the young people also this morning, that yea, even this morning You will begin their Bible school experience, Lord. You will cause them this morning to set the sails of their heart and toward the wind that is already blowing. They may go into that desired haven that You have planned for them. God, we trust the rest of this meeting to You. We thank You for hearing us. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We will be in a portion of Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning, if you want to turn there. Sort of a exegesis of these verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. As I was seeking the Lord for direction for this morning, desiring that the local congregation would receive encouragement, and strength, and direction for where you are in your everyday life, yet at the same time, we have Bible school students here who have come seeking God. And Lord, how can we give direction to them this morning at the same time? And yes, at the same time also, I considered you two young brothers who are being baptized today, how that we can give a little direction to you as you step forward today to seal your faith in holy baptism. And the Lord led me to this chapter here in 2 Peter, chapter 1. And I believe the Lord would have me to bring a message along the lines of our pursuit of a practical, sanctified life. It's a message for all ages and for all stages. You can be a two-day-old Christian this morning and receive from this. You can be 33 years old, 50 years old in the Lord, and still receive from this message, because there is no finality in the Christian life on this side of death. Each and every one of us are admonished in the Scriptures to be faithful and to continue in the faith all the way to the end. As I was beginning to study and prepare for this message, I realized that I stumbled upon a Bible school subject that would take me about 2 weeks to teach. And I probably will sometime, maybe at the advanced Bible school that we hope to have every other year, or maybe at Bible school. So I'm only skimming over the top of these verses today. It would probably take 10 hours to cover them properly, but we're going to take a look at them this morning. In 2 Peter, I'd like for us to read verse 1 through 12, but I want us to read verse 12 first of all, just so we get the importance of what Peter is saying. Let's read verse 10. I'm sorry, not verse 12. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If ye do these things, young people, ye shall never fall. That's what God's Word says. Do you believe that this morning? We read verse 10 so that we can see the urgency of what we're going to be looking at this morning. Ye shall never fall. That's what the Bible says. So, let us engage our hearts this morning that we might learn how this can be, that we shall never fall. Amen? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. How? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's the title of my message this morning. Add to your faith. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, young people, but he or she that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, rather than that, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. And I would just echo those words to all of us who have been Christians for many years. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yes, I was in sin's prison, oh, so dark and cold, just a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the door swung open. Jesus said to me, I have signed your pardon. Now you may go free. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Yes, we have obtained like precious faith with the Apostle Peter. Ever think of that before? Like precious faith with the Apostle Peter. We sit here this morning with the like precious faith of the Apostle Peter. Oh, brothers and sisters, may God open up the eyes of our understanding that we may grasp what we have. That we may grasp it, that we may see it deeply in our hearts. Like precious faith, it is the apostolic faith. It is the faith that the apostles taught. It is that faith that Jude was so earnestly contending for. It is like precious faith of the Apostle Peter. I want us to notice this morning also in this verse 1 that the focus of this like precious faith is on a person. Amen? It's not on a doctrine. It's not on a creed. Although doctrines are right and creeds are necessary and we believe in them and lift them up, but it's not on the doctrine and it's not on the creed. The focus of our faith is on the Lord Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, it is upon God and Savior Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah Sikkenu, using the Hebrew word, Jehovah Sikkenu. He is the Lord our righteousness. Amen? That's who He is. And all who will look away from their sinful life and turn from their sins and look on the Lord Jesus Christ shall receive the gift of the righteousness of God. My, what a glorious entrance we have. That's our faith, amen? I want to begin with a question. Hast thou this faith? Hast thou this like precious faith? We are admonished in
2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 13, to examine ourselves whether we be in this like precious faith. And if I understand that, that is a encouragement and an admonition which God would give to all of us in a very healthy exercise. Examine yourselves whether you be in this like precious faith of the Apostle Peter. I want us to also notice in verse 2, not only does life begin in a person, but life, eternal life, abundant life, a multiplying life, continues to flow in and through that same person. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, life begins at the foot of the cross in the Lord Jesus Christ, and life continues to flow, a multiplying life. That's what it says right there. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I have to go and read it. Can't get away from it. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's the way that Paul said it. This beautiful life also flows from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. I want us to notice that in verse 3 we see that divine power flows to us, is given to us from that same person. This precious faith activates a storehouse of provision upon us, which flows from the throne of God. There is a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. A river of grace, a river of power. That river of power, that river covers all things that we need for life and godliness. All things, brothers and sisters, for life and godliness. We see that faith and godliness are vitally connected here. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And how do they flow to us? Through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. But notice how faith and godliness are connected together here. You never have true faith without true biblical righteousness. You never do. On the other side, you'll never discover a true and a holy life without a living faith. These two are connected together. You can't have one without the other. Faith without works is no faith at all, James says in chapter 2. It's no faith at all. Do we see our calling this morning, brothers and sisters, in the last part of verse 3, do we see our calling? We are called to glory and virtue. That's why we're called. We are not called to heaven. We are not called to escape hell. We are not called for our own selfish benefits. We are called to a holy, sanctified life. We are called to God's glory and His purposes. We are called to God's service. We are called to yet higher forms of service in eternity. That is why we are called. Do you see your calling, brothers and sisters, this morning? Do you see it? We are the ecclesia. We are the called out assembly. We are those who have been called out of the world and assembled ourselves together in Jesus Christ. Do you see your calling this morning, brothers and sisters? We are not called to heaven, although, praise God, if we're faithful, we'll go there. We are not called just to escape hell. Salvation is not fire insurance. We are called unto God with a holy calling, with a purpose to glory and virtue. Do you see your calling this morning, brothers and sisters, young people? Do you see your calling? Peter said it this way in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 2:9, he said, "Ye are a chosen generation." Chosen. You. And you. And you. And yes, you. And you. Are you here today? Were you in sin's prison? Did Jesus come and open the door and call out your name and say, "I have signed your pardon. Now you may go free"? Do you know why He threw the door open to your life and offered to you the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's who you are. That's why we are called. Look at the last part of that verse, verse 9. That ye should show forth the praises or the virtues of Him who hath called you. Do you see your calling, brethren? That ye should show forth, manifest in your life the praises or the virtues of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Do you see your calling, brothers and sisters, this morning? Can we embrace that calling with a willing heart today? Or does your heart say, "No, not for me. I don't want to be a peculiar people. I don't want to be set apart. I don't want to be different than the world around me"? Do you see your calling, brethren? Let's go on to verse 4 in our text here. God gives us promises toward this end. Beautiful promises. Sure and steadfast promises. Promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. He gives them to us. He says to us, "I've called you with a holy calling." He says to us, "I have called you to be a separated people." He says to us, "I have called you to glory and virtue. I have called you to a sanctified life. And I have given you precious promises that guarantee that you shall have that life that I have called you to. Exceeding great and precious promises." Colossians 1:22 says, "We are promised, God has promised to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Philippians 1:6 says, "God says, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? It's a promise. Ephesians 3 tells us that He, God, is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. These are exceeding great and precious promises that we can draw into our own hearts and rest our faith upon. God said it. That settles it. Reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, another one of those precious promises. Look at this one. I mean, these are gold nuggets to those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Gold nuggets. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly in every area of your life. Sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. Yes, He will. He who called you will do it. Those are exceeding great and precious promises, aren't they? God says to us in Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, God says. In another place He says, I will write my laws upon your hearts and cause you to walk in my ways. Now those are precious, precious promises this morning. And I think about you, dear young people, moving into Bible school this week. These are precious promises to you as you walk through the doors of that Bible school and subject your heart to all the teachings of the Word of God that you're going to receive. Do not despair this week. Do not get discouraged. Do not allow yourself to be overwhelmed by all of the instruction that is coming into your heart. You have exceeding great and precious promises which guarantee you that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Do not despair. There are two things that these precious promises focus on. Beautiful. Both of them found in this verse, verse 4. Number one, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. God promises that we can escape the corruptions that are in this world through lust. And number two, God promises that we can be partakers of His divine nature. Add to your faith, brother, sister. Has Jesus signed your pardon? Have you heard the door swing open and those blessed words come ringing down the corridors of your heart? I have signed your pardon. Now you may go free. Amen. If you're sitting here this morning and that's your testimony, my challenge to you this morning is praise God for your faith. But let's add to your faith. Amen. Let's add to it. Verse 5. And beside this, or for this reason, since all these things flow to us through the glorious person and promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us get busy about personal sanctification. That's what God is saying here. since these glorious promises and the very glorious person of Jesus Christ flows to us, let us get busy about the work of sanctification in our lives. Amen? Paul said it this way, same thing, just a different man. He said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's how Paul said it. Same thing that Peter is saying. Since these things be so, let us get busy about personal sanctification. I want us to notice the word diligence here in verse 5. It says, giving all diligence. Now, this word diligence is a very active word. It means earnest care. It means zeal. It means to exert oneself. It's the difference between somebody who gets out of bed in the morning to seek the face of God and somebody who hits the snooze button and stays in bed and sleeps through their devotions. That's the difference there. Earnest care. Giving all diligence, let us pursue a sanctified life. That's what Peter is encouraging us to do. Pursue a sanctified life with earnest care, with zeal. These verses emphasize man's part in the growth of holy character. And yes, I want to acknowledge this morning that there is God's part. God's grace must flow into my heart and life, or I can never be holy. But my will must engage itself with God's grace, or there will be no sanctification. God does not just pick us up and carry us somewhere. He says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So here we simply have man's part in this growth of holy character. These things flow from the glorious person of Jesus Christ and are obtained by faith in His promises. Give diligence, brothers and sisters, to abide in Him. Give diligence also to the issues of practical sanctification. Do not coast in your Christian life. There is no coasting in the Christian life. Hast thou faith? Amen. Praise God. But wait. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. You just crossed the River Jordan. Why put up a little pup tent on the banks of the River Jordan when a beautiful land lie out ahead of you? And it's already yours. It has a house on it and green pastures and rippling brooks running down the side of it. There's already a well there that you didn't even dig, and vineyards that you didn't plant, and olive yards that have been growing for 100 years and you didn't even plant them. It's all there. Why sit in a pup tent on the sides of the banks of the River Jordan? Hast thou faith? Praise God! Amen! But let us add to our faith. Let's not be satisfied to just be a Christian. All right. Now that's the introduction.
but I'll move quickly. Let's look at these seven words which represent profound principles in the Word of God, which we are encouraged by Peter to add to our faith, and warned by him of the troubles that will come if we decide not to do that. Let us look at them. The first one that he mentions is the word virtue. Now, I have said in the past, virtue is moral excellence. I stand corrected on that. Couldn't be moral excellence. All of what we're going to look at are moral excellencies. What is this word virtue? What does it mean? Yes, the word virtue produces moral excellence. But the word virtue reaches down below the surface of moral excellence to the issues of the heart that produce moral excellence. The original meaning in Greek writings for virtue is this: loyalty to a cause. Is there not a cause, brothers and sisters? Willingness to endure, to give up all. Fearless in danger, scorning all suffering. A brave, warlike spirit. Brothers and sisters, let us put on virtue. In my modern terms, let's get some holy grit. Amen. Some holy grit that will not turn in the midst of difficulties, that will not bow to the circumstances that come rolling our way. Let us add to our faith some holy grit. In the Christian context, it is a resolute commitment. It is giving my will to the honor and glory of God. It is a resolute, unfaltering purpose to do right and to honor God. It is a will that cannot be broken by adversity nor relaxed by the fires of persecution. This is the word virtue. And God says to us, "Hast thou faith? Amen. Praise God. But add to your faith a holy, resolute commitment to God that will not budge no matter what comes our way." It takes that to get out of bed in the morning, doesn't it? It takes that to push a plate away, a plate of food away. It takes that when adversities come our way. It takes that when everything falls apart right in front of your face. It takes that holy, resolute commitment that says, "I will honor God with my life no matter what." Brothers and sisters, let us put on virtue. Amen. That's a whole hour, isn't it? That's worth a whole hour right there. Oh, for soldiers with a brave, warlike spirit. Amen? And I'm not talking about fighting with these hands. No, we're in a different kind of war, and the rules of the war are different. But dear brothers and sisters, we are in a war. Oh, for some warlike spirits who will not budge because of their loyalty to Christ. They have yielded their will and given it to Him. My will is now Thy will, oh my God. Let's move on. Add to that virtue. Oh, amen. That's good. That's deep. But don't stop there. Add to that virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, the revelation of divine truth. That's what knowledge is. It is the revelation of divine truth in your heart. Don't stop with a deep commitment. Let's find out what we're supposed to be committed about. Amen? Knowledge. Knowledge, the principles of the Word of God and how they are to influence my conduct in everyday life. That's knowledge. Knowledge is the insight into the true nature of things. In the book of Proverbs, it's called wisdom and understanding. God says to us, hast thou faith? Amen. Add to your faith virtue. Is your commitment there? Don't stop there. Add to that virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge is to actively, diligently pursue the revelation of the Word of God for my own heart and my life. Knowledge is seeking the face of God with an open Bible saying, God, teach me how to live. What is your heart? What is your will? What do you have for me? How shall I walk today? Show me, dear Lord. Let us put on knowledge, a revelation of the will of God for our hearts and our lives. Proverbs says it this way. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. How do I work this out in my life? Pursue them in faith. God wants to give them to you. But we must pursue them in faith. We must be like the man who knows there's a treasure hidden in the ground out behind his house, and he's out there with a shovel and he's digging. And you ask him, what are you doing? And he says, I'm digging. There's a treasure in this yard back here. How do you know there's a treasure? Someone told me there is. And he digs and he digs and he doesn't find it, but he keeps on digging because he knows it's there. We must dig in faith. We must come in faith, knowing that God's longing desire is to reveal to us the knowledge of His will. Even as Paul prayed for many of the churches there, he prayed that they would be filled with all the knowledge of God's will. That's knowledge. Hast thou faith? Add knowledge to it. Find out why you're here. Amen. Find out what the purpose of life is all about. Find out what the heart of God is for you and how that gets worked out in my everyday life. Knowledge. From knowledge, let's go on to temperance. Well, that'd make a whole sermon, wouldn't it? Temperance. Self-control. Bringing into subjection all the passions of my human nature. Bringing into subjection all the passions of my human nature. The old divines called it self-government. I like that. Self-government. No, you are not going to eat now. No, you will not sleep an hour longer. No, you will keep on going, even though you don't feel like it. Self-government. Temperance is the wise self-discipline imposed on man's natural desires for pleasure. It is the wise self-discipline that we impose upon our nature which desires pleasure. Well, that's not a popular teaching in America, is it? We live in a pleasure-seeking society. But God says, hast thou faith? Put on temperance. Earnestly pursue a self governed life. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can master all of your appetites. Do you believe that?
Taking dominion over the bodily senses that have caused man to fall since the beginning. That's temperance.
To check those carnal habits which have taken control over my being. That's called temperance. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Self-control. We almost don't like that word. Maybe because of the teachings of the day that we live in. Self-control. That's like, oh, I'm doing it myself. No, no. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 8. He said, but if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
And may I give the antithesis of that? If ye do not mortify the deeds of this body, ye shall die.
But if ye, through the Spirit, not in your own strength, if ye, through the Spirit of God, through those exceeding great and precious promises, if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of this body, ye shall live. God says. God promises. This
quality flows very nicely from the knowledge of right and wrong that we just spoke about, doesn't it? They kind of flow together. Oh, now I know what is right and I know what is wrong. I know how God wants me to live. Now what do I do? Get at it! Bring your heart and life under control by the Spirit of God in subjection to the Word of God.
Oh, we must grasp this, brothers and sisters. It is part of our inheritance to be willing and able to bring this body under control. Do you believe that this morning? It is part of our inheritance. We are a spirit with a body. We have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. We are no longer a body with a soul. We are a spirit living in a body. And there's a big difference between the two of those. We Americans live in a very fleshly, carnal, sensual society. Amen? Is that right? Is that how you see it? Let me see if you believe that. We do. Let us rise up in faith and take control of every aspect of appetite in this body of ours. Food, drink, easy living, sleep, attitudes, morality, our eyes, our ears. Let us rise up in faith and take mastery over every appetite in our body. Hast thou faith? Let us add to your faith. Temperance. Self-control by the Spirit of God. Let us go on. The next one we find is the word patience. Patience. A gentle, enduring spirit in the midst of difficulties. Patience. A gentle, enduring spirit in the midst of difficulties. Anybody have any difficulties? Anybody have any difficulties? Let me see your hands. Yeah, see, that's normal. That's normal.
That's right.
You know, it'd be real nice if God, as soon as we were born again, He just all of a sudden changed all those circumstances and we could go through life a little bit like the children of Israel did there in the land of Egypt. You know, the flies were on the Egyptians, but not on the Israelites. The frogs were on the Egyptians, but not on the Israelites. But brothers and sisters, it's not that way. Flies come by my house just like yours and just like the Egyptians. Troubles and trials are a normal part of life. And God wants to use us to show forth the virtues, that gentle, patient endurance, to show forth the virtues of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light in the middle of the trouble and the trials that come our way. Patience. If we will pursue this quality diligently, God will impart His very gentle endurance into our very lives. This is not just for baby Christians, is it? Patience. Patience is that serene meekness and resignation that doesn't fight back or fight against the ordering of our lives. That's right. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with beautiful things outside. Other times, tragedies come our way. Patience. That serene meekness and resignation that doesn't fight back or doesn't fight against the things that God orders in our lives. Patience. It is a holy resignation to all of the will of God for my life. If you put on patience, you will learn lessons like you can't imagine. And you will learn them much faster than you do when we're fussing about them and grumbling and murmuring. Amen? And I mean that for myself too, not just you. Patience. Let's go on to godliness. Godliness. Oh, I'm corrected again. Godliness, I have said, is godlikeness. God-likeness. But I'm wrong in that all of these that we're looking at are God-likeness. But the word godliness is not God-likeness, but rather it is God-wordness. There's a big difference. Hast thou faith? Add to your faith Godwardness. Piety. A Godward disposition in all things. A Godward disposition. A reverence and awe for God. This word godliness is where the inward character of the Christian life is developed. In this word, Godwardness. Here we find prayer, meditation, worship. We find the devotional aspects of our life. This is how Godwardness is developed. And God says to us, do you have faith? Don't stop there. Don't stop with the joy of the knowledge of your sins being forgiven. Add to that joy. Add to that faith. Godwardness. Develop your inner life with God. Godliness. It is
a worshipful disposition toward God always in all things. That's what godliness is.
We are admonished to continue to develop an inward life of love and reverence and sobriety toward God. And I don't know what you think about these words, but just consider with me for a moment. If we laugh and joke our way through life, if everything is a slap on the back and something funny and a joke to tell and lightheartedness, we will not be able to develop a Godwardness about us. Those two don't go together.
It has the connotation of worship and devotion. And when you think about what worship is not just singing the songs we sang this morning. Amen. That is worship, but that's not all what worship is. Worship is also when we got on our knees downstairs in the basement. And worship is also when we sit before our family and open up the Word of God. And worship is when we go out into a world around us and interact with people. All of life is a worship of God.
Let us be baptized with reverence and godly fear. And put on sobriety and put off lightheartedness.
And laughing and joking, and I'm not against being filled with joy. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm all for the joy of the Lord which wells up deep within the heart of man. Let's move on to brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, phileo. Phileo is the Greek word. Brotherly, sisterly kindness. Do you have faith? Don't stop there. Add to your faith. Brotherliness, sisterliness. We are one in the same family, brothers and sisters. We are the blood-washed children of our Father who adopted us. Amen. We are brethren. You know, I thought about it. You come to the cross alone to deal with your sin and your needy life and your needy heart. But when you come to the cross, you find there that you're not alone anymore. You find a family at the foot of the cross, don't you? We are brethren. We are part of the blood-washed band. We are the family of God. And God says, don't stop just rejoicing that you were in sin's prison and the pardon has been granted to you. Put on brotherly kindness. Move out of the realm of your personal issues and put on brotherly kindness. Now you think about those that we looked at. We looked at virtue. We looked at knowledge. I mean, that's my commitment. Knowledge, that's what I need to know about God's will. We looked at temperance. That's how I work that out. We looked at godliness. That has to do with me and God. And patience, enduring in the midst of trials, and that still has to do with me. Now all of a sudden, and this is so like the economy of God, God turns that thing and says, oh, and by the way, it's not all about you. It isn't even about you and your righteousness. It's not even you and your disciplines. It's not even you and your godliness and your worship of God. Open your eyes and look around you. Amen. Yes, you came to the cross alone. What you found there at the cross, a family. You are part of the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. Praise God. Put on brotherly kindness. That is, love of the faithful. If you will allow Him, God will take you out of yourself and into a life of living for others. We are admonished in the Scriptures to reach out, especially to those of the household of faith. Amen? Brotherly kindness. And lastly, charity. That is the word agape. Agape, sacrificial love. You say, what's the difference between brotherly love and sacrificial love or charity? Well, I believe the difference between the two of them is one is brotherly love and the other is to love the world out there. Just like God did. God so loved the world that He gave. God so loved the world that He laid down His life. God so loved the world that He left all the glories of heaven and walked upon this earth and subjected Himself to all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of trials, all kinds of unkindnesses, all kinds of misunderstandings. And oh, my dear brothers and sisters, if you want some lessons in growth, in Christian growth, begin to reach out to a lost and dying world around you. They will bring pain to you like you never knew. Misunderstandings will come. Persecutions will come. Mockings will come. Troubles will come. The enemy will start fighting against you. All kinds of things. But, may I say again, hast thou faith? Have you been born again? Then put on charity. Don't just sit there with your nice little faith that God has done for you. Reach out to a lost and dying world around you. That's why we are here. Charity. If you want to learn to love, love the lost. If you want to learn to love, engage your heart in the evangelization of the world. This is the crown of Christian excellence. If you want to learn to love, move through your world with a continual motivation to love and reach out to the lost around you. And when you reach this place of wonderful sanctification, where your heart is burdened continually and reaching continually to a lost and dying world, you will be like Jesus, your elder brother. This is exactly how He lived when He was on the earth. Yes, He did many, many things. He worked miracles. He reached out to people. He preached sermons. He did many things. But I'm telling you, He only did one thing. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now verse 8. And we'll go quickly down through the rest here. For if these things be in you, if these things are a part of you, that's a better way to say it. If these things are a part of you and abound, abounding in temperance, abounding in godliness, abounding in virtue, abounding in brotherly kindness, if these things are part of you and they abound, look what happens. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will have an abundant Christian life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want them to have a life that is bursting forth in every direction. Do you want one of those? Add to your faith. young people, this week you have an opportunity to add to your faith. Some of you may not know what you're getting into. This may be the first time you've come. But I'm telling you ahead of time, you have an opportunity to add to your faith. To diligently add to your faith. You have that opportunity. Or you can go to Bible school and just kind of sit back, you know, coast and relax and enjoy the social and visit and, you know, go through the week that way. You can do that. Or you can be diligent and say in your heart, I am going to pursue a holy life with everything that is in me this week. You have the choice. Look at verse 9. Here's the other side of it. But he that lacketh these things, and may I say, he or she doesn't even want them. Not really interested in all that. He or she that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You lost your vision. You've lost your vision. Are you a Christian this morning? Hast thou faith? Were you in sin's prison? Oh, remember how dark and cold it was? Hast thou faith this morning? Do you look back and you profess that you've been born again by the Spirit of God? Yet you lack these things? Maybe you need to examine whether you be in the faith or not. But if you are assured that you are in the faith, it's time to wake up. Because the Bible says you're blind and you cannot see afar off. That means short-sightedness. All you can see is right here. You cannot see down there. And you're also forgetful. You have forgotten that you were purged from your sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, here's the positive side, amen. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give diligence. Engage with zeal, earnest care. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Which tells me that it can be unsure. Amen? It can be unsure. Contrary to popular opinion of those who say you're eternally secure and it doesn't matter how you live, if you live a rebellious life after you become a Christian, it doesn't matter. God will spank you by killing you and taking you to heaven. Don't count on it. Rather, make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. There it is. Ye shall never fall. That's what I want. That's what I want. And are the end of it all? Yes. Yes. Heaven. Yes, heaven. Heaven. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the end of it all. Amen, Brother Amos. That's the end of it all. Heaven. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Heaven. Heaven. Yes, this morning, dear brothers and sisters of the congregation here, it is good for me, for us, to have our minds stirred up that we might remember the importance of going on in our Christian life. And yes, it is good for you young people here this morning to be reminded to add to your faith. That's why you have come to Bible school, to add to your faith. And young men getting baptized today, this is a good foundation for you to walk on as you step into those waters today. Add to your faith. Okay, boys? Amen.
Amen. Let us go on unto perfection. I thank God for His Word this morning. It is true. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, a thirsty man will overcome a lot of obstacles to quench his thirst. A hungry man will go to great length when it begins to set in the reality that unless I find something to eat, I'm going to die. Oh, bless God. May the Lord give us that gift of His grace that causes our hearts to not be satisfied where we're at, but to pursue earnestly as a hungry and a thirsty man after these things that God has laid before us this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Denny, for preaching the Word to us this morning. I want to open it up here. Maybe you have a testimony to share. Maybe a confession. Just open it up for anyone to feel free to share. Open your heart. I would have to agree, Brother Denny. You know, it's not just for the new baby Christians, but it's for me. I want to apprehend that for which the Lord Jesus Christ has apprehended me, and I confess I am not there. But I praise God, I'm on the way. I thought of this too as we were sitting here. Oh, let us pursue in faith. Children of Israel, they pursued, but they didn't obtain because they pursued it not by faith, you know. So let us be careful. It's good. All of these disciplines mixed with faith. The Word of God being mixed with faith and bringing forth beautiful fruit in our lives. Hallelujah. God's part and man's part. Amen. Appreciated the Word this morning. Thank you, brother. Raise your hand. The ushers will get a microphone to you if you have something to share. Hand over there, other side. Sisters, feel free also.
I was very blessed with the message. I guess my comment is that God heard my prayer this week. I was meditating on this very subject, add to your faith. virtue. I just thought, I'd like to hear a message on that. Maybe I should send a note to the ministers and hear it come today. I think God sent the message. Amen.
Amen, Brother Lester. Put the hand over on the brother's side.
Amen. I was also very blessed with the message this morning. I was really blessed with the aspect of how easy it is for us as in our humanness and our fleshliness to make excuses for ourselves. What he expounded on self-control. But realize that God has made it available to us. It's for us to claim it. It's for us to take ownership of it. And I want to learn to do that more, to take ownership, responsibility, and realize that God has richly and abundantly given. And I don't want to be crying out as much to God, help me, but Lord, help me to work with what you have already given me. Change me more into your image. Very blessed with the message. I feel that was very much for me. God bless you.
Amen, brother.
You may ask the question, well, isn't faith enough? This is the answer. It defines faith just like James says, no, faith isn't enough. It produces something. And there are those that turn away from the gospel because they say it's... It can't be that it's a free gift. I have to do something. Well, here, there's plenty to do. Yes, faith in the Lord is all we need for our salvation, but there is plenty for us to do afterward. We don't need to feel that it can't be true. It's too easy. Because here is plenty for us to do for the rest of our life.
Other microphone somewhere else? Yes.
Yes, I couldn't help but think of Ephesians chapter 2. You hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. And then verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, wherein God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I couldn't help but think that those good works are virtue, temperance, brotherly kindness, and the other things that were mentioned, the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm excited to be the workmanship of Christ. And amen. I'm looking forward to this week of Bible school.
Amen. Up front here, there's a hand on the brother's side. If I don't see you, raise your hand high.
Brother, and I've got a mic here too.
Amen.
Couldn't resist. It was coming back by my way. The scriptures say that we are to honor our elders, especially those who labor in the word. And I just thank God this morning for Brother Denny, your labors in the word. I feel like I own chapter 1 of 2 Peter a lot more. 7 words were looked up. I don't know how much time was spent preparing for this message, but I guess the challenge that I have and want to share with some of the youth attending Bible school this year is invest in a wide margin Bible. Circle those words, draw a little arrow out to the margin, and write them down. You can go back to this sermon again and again and again in your quiet times, and you'll own that passage of Scripture. Those are powerful words. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. Well, you have 7 words now that you can own like any seminary graduate. Those words were cross-referenced, they were defined, they were elaborated on. You can own that passage of Scripture. And the Scriptures also say that this Word is written on your heart. We were exhorted today to take a healthy look inside. And we got a glimpse of what God has written on our hearts. And it's life-changing. Powerful passage of Scripture, but it's been made known to us. It's been unpacked. And we can look at it. And You know, I guess I'll take liberty to make one more plug. You can get a wide margin Bible on the charity website. Invest in that thing. Have it for life. Take notes. There's nothing sacrilegious about writing a note in the margin of your Bible. It helps you to own that scripture, own that passage. And what a blessing it would be to be a Bible school student, have a wide margin Bible, and take notes during this coming week. Own some of the passage that these speakers have put hours in prayer and preparation for. I guess that would be the challenge that's burning in my heart. I shouldn't say I guess, that is the challenge that's burning on my heart for these Bible school students. Take advantage of the hours that these men have put in to these studies and really own these passages in this coming week. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So take the time to really get to know it.
Amen, brother. Thank you. There's a hand over here in the middle, center aisle. And then the other microphone's up here. Go ahead, Brother Merle, up front here with the other mic.
Yes, I want to bear testimony to that testimony and that challenge. That is a worthy challenge. It has richly blessed my life to do that. And I, for one, was doing that very thing this morning because this is a rich passage, and I know I will go back many times in my quiet time. Because it has helped me in some ways to see where I'm at in God's process of sanctification. I'm sure he'll show me more. But it was just a beautiful blessing and challenge. I can give also a blessing to the ministry and the word. This morning was rich. But one thing that just kind of jumped out to me, if I can just take one thing out of the sermon that was very powerful, it's something that I got a hold of about little less than a year ago. It changed my life when I understood that we are spirits living in a body. That changed my life. And America, I would agree, is a pleasure-crazed society, but it is also highly focused many times on the soul in a different way than God focuses on the soul. But many of corporate achievements are all about learning and skill and all those things, even character, Dale Carnegie courses and things like that, in many ways is about a portion of the soul. But it's all about inside, outside in. But God's way is inside out. And what we heard this morning is taking those things that He's done by His Spirit and by His grace in our spirits and working them out and refining our soul and teaching us these things and adding these things to our faith. So I was just so blessed because of how that has made me free to understand the focus needs to be on the inner man and not on how much striving I can do and how far I can go. Though I do have a part to play, but it's bringing that which He's doing inside and just letting it come out.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. And the other microphone here in the middle.
I'd like to draw attention to verse 11. You know, we do have that glorious anticipation for the everlasting kingdom, thinking of heaven. But I'd like to just cause us to think a little bit about the kingdom now. And that the principles that were mentioned here this morning are the principles by which our spiritual authority is established. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly now into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If this sanctifying work is brought to fullness and blessing, there will be spiritual power.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother. Hand on the sister's side. Same microphone over here on the sister's side. You may go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to share. I mean, God has done in my life. I tried to live a Christian life, and I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. when all at once God showed me that I was a sinner and I was not able to do anything of my own. All my good works that I had done were not enough. And I just thank God that He has received me into His fold this last February. And God is really working in my life, and I really thank God for the message this morning. It really brought me some more energy that I would be able to stand among all the things that come our way that we don't know how to handle them. But I know God knows, and I know He has the strength for us. And I just thank you all for being the encouragement that you are, and just keep on looking to Jesus.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Is the other microphone somewhere else? Here in the center, we need a microphone up here in the center. Jan, if you can raise your hand again so the usher can get you the microphone.
I want to express my appreciation for the teaching that we received this morning. I think I need that kind of challenge. I believe that most of us do. Because there is danger of falling away. Peter told us about that. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And I was especially appreciated Brother Denny's emphasis on the need to go on, to add to our faith, diligence, and all of the rest. Because if we don't, we will fall. And it's the Lord's will that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that process of growth needs to continue all through life, just as He emphasized in the beginning. And there's no testing, there's no difficulty that we may encounter that the Lord has grace sufficient for us in those experiences. Difficult as they may seem to be, yet there is abundant grace. If we reach out for it and receive it, we can endure and be faithful to the end.
Thank you, brother, for sharing. Those are not just words. It's a life behind those words. Thank you, brother. Amen. All right, I don't see any other hands. Thank God. Each one that is here this morning, we have heard the word of the Lord. Let us not be forgetful hearers, but doers, taking hold by faith. Is there another hand somewhere else? Yes, in the back. Okay.
Yes, I just want to express my deep, heartfelt thanks for all of the brothers and sisters, especially the sisters that reached out to me through this last week and continually just blessing me, and to know that they're praying for me. And I just thank you all here for what you've done, what God's done while I've been here. And I just I want to know I've been able to overcome many, many things in my life through the power of the blood that I could never have overcome before. And I do want to add to my faith all of these things. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Debbie. Thank you for that testimony. We have a hand up here in the front, on the brother's side.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Denny, for that message. I needed it this morning. I praise God. Praise God for Jesus, for the blood. Praise God. He wants to take us further. So let's go for it, brothers, sisters. The Lord Jesus is worthy.
Amen. Thank you. All right. We'll have a song, and then we'll head down to the pond for the baptism. So, Brother Jeremy, if you could come and lead us in a hymn.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.